It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What is going on? How is everybody doing tonight? I am happy to be here. This is the Riverfront Bengals Show, episode 46. This is the live season preview issue. I've got the most distinguished panel that I have ever had, probably ever will have. This might be the greatest dais that has ever been assembled in the history of this great country of ours. next to me, to my right, from the Riverfront, the Red Show, is Nate Dotson. Nate, what is happening, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good over here. Loving the live show. Excited to be in Cincinnati this weekend to see what the vibes are like, because where I am, the energy around the Bengals is pretty hot and heavy. So let's go.
I had no idea you were going to be in Cincinnati. Is there anything going on this weekend?
There might be. There might be a little live show at the Stretch down at the Banks at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Everybody around, come check it out. We're going to be talking Reds. We're going to be talking Bengals. We're going to be talking some other stuff that we're not going to announce until Saturday. So you'll just have to show up to find out. And with that, we should probably throw it to Tim.
Tim Daniel from Late Night Reds. What's happening? I see you have a notice under your name there. That a quick observation. Surprised you picked that up.
Yeah. So what's up, everybody? I can't believe they let me on here to talk to Bengals. I'm going to tell you all the high X's and O's, spread offense stuff today. I'm kidding. I'm just here to have a good time and drink some bourbon.
But what kind of bourbon?
Woodford.
Okay. That's a solid. Hi, Sydney. That's a solid choice there.
Yeah, it's good to have around the house. You know, don't spend too much money. Keep it in the freezer.
I need to get some. I don't have any. I don't think I have any good bourbon right now. I think I ran out.
I always say the Woodford for me is like where top shelf bourbon begins.
Mm.
You can go way higher, yeah. But below that's mid shelf.
My dog.
You're still getting some good shit if you're having some Woodford. So that's right. When I'm thinking like that, that's what I'll have. If I'm at a bar, I'm not a beer drinker, so I would definitely do a Woodford and diet or something like that. So
love it.
And alongside Tim, our most distinguished of the distinguished.
The Godfather.
The Godfather himself, Bill Lack. Bill, what's happening, my friend? Oh.
Is he frozen?
The Podfather has frozen.
That's unfortunate. He's a frozen pod.
Can confirm that Bill's doing really, really well, though.
Okay. Oh, hang on.
Up. Live radio, guys. Nothing like it.
This is really scintillating if you're just listening to the audio feed tomorrow morning.
Well, let's twist this around on you, Joe. Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, how are you, Joe? I see you're bald now.
I am bald now. Kids drove all my hair out. No. I wanted to have a nice fresh haircut for us. With the live show on Saturday. My stylist canceled. She has the Rona, and I've been debating shaving it all off and just. This evening, I told my wife, you know what? Screw it. I'm shaving it all off right now. So Nate's my inspiration. As he truly is for all of us, if we think about it.
Nate liberating. It's liberating. But if I'm your inspiration, if you need a little something extra. Bill!
Godfather!
I thought you guys disappeared.
It's like, was it something we said?
Right. Nate will apologize.
You know, you hang out with you hang out with Dotsons and bad things happen.
It's like I don't know what I need to apologize for, but I'm sure there's something.
I'm looking forward to having having bad stuff happen this weekend. So it's going to be a blast. Y'all need to join us.
Yeah, please do join us. And by the way, if you don't want to join us at the Stretch or you can't make it, we're going to be hanging out at the game after around section 144, if I'm not mistaken. And we're just going to post up. Bounce around the stadium, drink some beers, watch some ball, and have a grand old time.
Section Fred Hutchinson, Ellie De La Cruz, 144.
Love it. Adam Dunn, sir. Adam
and Dunn. The first liar will never have a chance.
Anyway, before we get going here, I do want to give a shout out to our good friends at SeatGeek. We have partnered up. Sydney, you will be there. Awesome. We know you're going to be there. Sydney, you are like the most badass of all of our badass followers.
No lies told.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you were great on late night with Tim and Ben. So
where is
definitely
Ben?
Definitely be happy to see you. And I'll see you at UC games. I think your seats are one section over from mine too. So anyway, again, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at SeatGeek. They are the best aftermarket seat place. They rate the ticket prices so you don't have to. When you look on there, you see a nice green dot. You're getting a good deal. If you see a red dot, you're going to get screwed. Don't buy that ticket. They're telling you not to do it. Red means stop. No. Use our code Riverfront for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. Riverfront, one word. Again, if you're paying full price for a ticket, you're doing it the wrong way.
Free money, baby.
Exactly. Plus, dude, I mean, you know, we're... You know, yeah. Who wants to pay for, you know... Who wants to pay for regular price or, you know...
I would in like this to economy? Thank Riverfront for the discount on KISS tickets. Thank you, Riverfront.
Yeah, there you go.
Is KISS a band?
Yeah. Well, this is like the 19th rendition of them, so I don't know.
How many originals are still in the band?
Two.
They're kind of like the Wiggles, right?
Yeah, they kind of skinnered it now, so.
You'll learn about the Wiggles, Tim, but they're kind of like the Wiggles. They're just kind of interchangeable, and just the name and the aesthetic is what's important. So.
Well, now they have the two guys that aren't Gene and Paul. Actually just wear Ace and Peter's makeup. It wasn't like when Vinnie Vincent joined the band, he got his own makeup. They're like, nope, you guys, we own this and we don't want to spend any more money.
Do like Journey, get yourself a badass Filipino. They can just rock it.
Okay, yeah. So quick story about Journey. So I used to be a limousine driver, you know, I was a chauffeur. They had a show at Riverbend and we drove the band. And, you know, so Neil Sean and like most of the members, they had their own town car, except for they made the Filipino guy ride in the bus with everybody else from the hotel.
No.
Dude, I think that's officially a junior member, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to earn
your own ride. And unless maybe that was his choice or something. And I wasn't going to ask, but you know,
he took one look at you and was like, I'm riding in the other.
Right. He's like, no, thanks.
You're going to get there fast. That's all you got to worry about.
He had no say in the band rider.
Right.
Yeah. Joey might already have to press the Ninja Turtles, lose control conversation points. Sounds like.
Damn, that didn't even take that long. Hey, so 7.5 minutes in, how about we talk about the Bengals since that's kind of the show that we're here for?
Let's
get it. Idea. At 1 o'clock in Cleveland on Sunday.
Yeah.
Are you guys as excited as I am?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I legitimately can't think of another season, you know, pick a sport, pick any of my favorite teams. I've never been as excited for a season as I am for this one. I mean, I was pretty pumped for last year, but there are still questions about, like, what's the offensive line going to look like or how much, you know, not that 2021 was a fluke, but they obviously played over their heads. I mean, they weren't the second best team in the NFL. Despite making it to the Super Bowl and damn near winning it. This year, I mean, they're legitimate. They are the second best team in the NFL, if not the first best team, depending on what happens to Chris Jones and if Kansas City can get their shit together and get him back in the fold. There's no weakness on this team. It's, you know, just looking. I'm just happy. I mean, how do you guys feel comparatively, Nate? Well, that's you first.
I am extremely, extremely optimistic about this season. I think the Bengals are about as well-rounded as any team in the NFL. But I don't know about y'all. I'm pretty nervous about this week one matchup. I feel like it's got – I don't know if you can have a trap game in week one. But you've got the Bengals that have all these high expectations, and you've got Cleveland that has no expectations outside of that city. And I am a little worried that they could come out hot and it could be one of those overreaction week one type of scenarios where everybody's like, oh man, the Bengals are going to have a letdown and Deshaun Watson's back. So are y'all scared at all about week one or are you just rolling with this confidence?
I mean, not really. Cause if you remember week one last year, went as bad as it could get and they were still you know, an extra point away from winning the game if, you know, their long snapper doesn't get injured. And that was probably the worst game Joe Burrow's ever played in, like, his life.
Yeah.
And they still almost won it. So, you know, I don't lose. It's not college football, right? You go 0-1, your season's not over. And I think with this team, too, like, you know, how many teams are they going to line up against that are better than them? I don't really know if there's like maybe two, maybe even one, maybe none.
Their preseason, you know, with doing the spreads on through the entire season, and they are favored in 15 games only against in Kansas City and against San Francisco. And that's legitimate.
Yeah.
My thing about Sunday is they don't historically they've struggled with Cleveland the last few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be nervous until I see this offensive line play well together.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sense of that. And the other thing that I say is, and we mentioned Kansas City and question marks about them, and we don't really know what Kelsey's knees, how bad this thing with Kelsey's knee, because they've been lying their ass off,
yeah.
You know. But the one thing I will say, and I said this last time I was on with you, Joe, is this team cannot afford to start 0-2 with the first two games being division games.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's I mean, that being said, I mean, last year they only went 3-3 in the division, and they still, you know, were a half game away from you know, from hosting the division or divisional game. So again, the division I think is more well rounded this year and you know, a little more solid than it was last year. And yeah, you don't want to start 0-2. I think the Bengals ideally want to go 4-2 at worst in the division. And you don't want to put yourself behind the eight ball. I'm not. Yeah, so that's exactly right. I mean, there's like even the offensive line. A lot of people are still kind of bemoaning the depth at the back of the offensive line depth chart, like the ninth and tenth guys. But you've got to get to those ninth and tenth guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean,
it feels really good to only have to complain about the ninth and tenth guys.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, Jackson Carman's been coming in to play guard. They're not going to bring him in to play right tackle. He's on the roster. He's basically only here to be the third string left tackle because if anything happens to Orlando Brown, Jonah Williams is going back over to the left side. So
they should bring him in.
I don't know how often Carman will be active.
Yeah. I think he's going to be one of those like active. Yeah. Like it's going to be, you know, especially with how many wide receivers they have.
Yeah.
That you can throw out there and be a threat. I know, you know, you've talked about Yoshi all offseason, Joe. Like, I don't know how many games he's going to be inactive. I don't think there's a case where he can be inactive with how talented he's been for them.
Love it. He's not very active when he's on the field anyway, so he'll be used to it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He only gets the ball thrown at him 10 times a game in the preseason. Yeah.
Yeah.
well, and especially, yeah, Deontay Smith wasn't even listed on the, or he was a full participant, and he's a lot better option as the swing tackle. So, yeah, there's a strong likelihood that Carman is inactive on Sunday. So
do you guys think that the one playoff game that he played, I think it was Buffalo, when he played fairly well, that saved his spot on this roster?
Yes.
I think they were ready to cut bait on him.
I think it did.
I think it showed them kind of what his ceiling is, and he can be a functional left tackle if need be. And that's the only spot that, like, they've tried him on the right side, and he's awful. On the left side, like he looks like he's, you know, not quite starter level, but a solid backup on the, you know, on the left side. But again, they don't even need him because they've got a backup left tackle in their right tackle. Right. And if anything else happens, they're gonna, you know, put in Deontay Smith. You know, they've got spots, you know, someone to do anything over on the right side. So
yeah, and come week five, you still have Lael Collins. You know, that's really gonna look like
if he's, you know, because he's looked good. Yeah, and Cindy's right. I mean, it's his draft placement. I think this season his draft spot is irrelevant.
Yeah,
I agree.
He's Nick Senzel now, right?
What's that?
He's Nick Senzel now. Like he's the Nick Senzel of the Bengals.
Yeah.
Mine is
with the worst attitude.
Yeah.
So is Tim's favorite player?
No.
Not so much. Well, he's Chad's favorite player.
Listen, I promised myself that I wasn't going to spend every episode that I show up on the Bengals show this season talking about the offensive line. So we don't have to do that anymore.
Okay.
We're talking about how the
so we're moving on.
Yeah. Moving on. So, Anyway, yeah, I mean, the team is, you know, deep anywhere. I mean, they've got a bunch. The defensive line is going to be fun seeing them just bring guys in waves, which that was the big takeaway for me over preseason games, just how many guys they even had to cut and they couldn't even fit on the practice squad that were just coming in and making plays all over the field.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. Just more pass rushers. You don't want Hendrickson and Hubbard to get worn down. And that's what happened to them last year. They got worn down by the end of the season. Those guys play way too many snaps. So.
Talking about the D line for a minute, did you see Ozai's comments? Ozai's comments.
Loved today? It.
Oh, loved man. It. I was heartbroken.
I feel bad for the guy. He needs to move on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to move on.
Yeah. That part was heartbreaking, but I absolutely loved the fact that he was like, look, it's on me. Like, and it necessarily wasn't on him. There was 59 minutes and 30 seconds played before that. But I do respect that it's like, you know, I could have been better. And like,
he didn't make any excuses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's my point. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the game was blown when they gave up the punt return because it was shitty Drew Chrisman punt.
And you can, there were things all during the game you could say, well, this, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burrow threw a bad interception. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that went on. You can't, one, you know.
I just don't want this kid dwelling on it and it getting into his head and it affects his play.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a talented player. And I think if, you know, and hoping his ankle, like he's listed as day to day, he didn't practice today. He's not considered out for this weekend. I want to see him be able to play all 16 games. I mean, he misses rookie season blowing his knee out after being Lawrence Taylor in his first quarter of preseason action in his, you know, NFL debut against
Sack the Goat. Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Got Brady.
Yeah. And, like Cindy said, want to see what Murphy offers. He looked like a more of a project, but if you guys saw any pictures of his get off, like the way that he jumps the snap, he is so fast. His size is like, he's huge, 6'5", 275. It just clean up some technique stuff. I mean, and he's still flashy. He didn't make a lot of plays in preseason, but you saw a lot of the ability of why he was a first rounder. He just turned 21. He's a kid.
But yeah, you know, me watching Notre Dame football every Saturday, I got to see him quite a bit because Notre Dame and Clemson play, you know, every so often. You know, whoever was back there in South Bend at quarterback didn't have a chance if he got in the backfield. So
yeah. I'm just not expecting anything from him till like the second half of the season.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let him grow into the job. And then like the second half of the season, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him come on.
And could that's absolutely, that's perfect. Honestly, again, just more, you know, get guys in more, especially as the season goes on, because you're going to be fast facing more passing teams.
Is he kind of a you guys will know this better than me, could you see him kind of playing that, like, this is obviously going back forever, but remember David Pollock's idea was to be like down D lineman, outside linebacker kind of hybrid? Is that kind of what you see from him?
I don't think so. I think he's more of a
hand on the ground guy.
Yeah, they want to see him more as kind of like a supersized Sam Hubbard, whereas Sam Hubbard is more he's a guy who's, I mean, he's the best run-stopping defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah.
And still gives thumb juice in pass rush game. I think they think that he can have some of the almost Trey Hendrickson-type juice rushing the passer and still be able to stay on the field in run downs, you know, on the edge, because he's got such a huge frame and he's so strong. I think he's the guy who's going to be moved to the inside on passing downs, either next to Hubbard or Zach Carter, and then they'll put Osai and Hendrickson, and you got absolutely just four racehorses coming after the quarterback.
If you can get pushed out of the middle, it changes the whole way defense play.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why there was the whole thing of you could take one player from the past to add him to your team. Well, you know, add him to your current team. Who would it be? Everyone said Anthony Munoz, and yeah, I mean, greatest left tackle of all time, but. Give me Geno Atkins. That guy on this team, when you already have, I mean, he didn't have to come off the field. I mean, he was a great run stopper, and he was Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald. Now, Donald's a whole nother level, but that guy, as quick as that guy was, as strong as he was, there's been a couple of times when he sacked the quarterback by pushing the center into him, knocking him down, and then just having to touch him.
Like if you had Reader and Geno at them two inside slots,
my lord,
ball game every time, ball game.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you're not running the ball up the middle on them. Your linebackers are going to be freed up to make plays. I mean, that's that would be just, you know. We shall see. I've got high hopes for Zach Carter. Last year was kind of a learning year. He was a defensive end, and they moved him to the inside because he's got a bigger frame and wasn't – I don't think they thought he was going to be quick enough to be a to be an edge. And so, you know, he's bulked up. He's about 300 pounds now, and I really think he's going to be kind of what Larry Ogunjobi was 2 years ago, and the team with B.J. Hill would keep him from getting run down as much too. So,
again, we're talking about all that depth. I mean, and the depth on this team is the most depth that I can remember since the Super Bowl teams.
You know, yeah, exactly. And I mean, hell, they're deeper than the Super Bowl team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we really haven't even mentioned we haven't mentioned T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase or, you know, Joe Mixon. Of course,
we haven't mentioned Joe Burrow.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There's that guy. In.
Is he going to play this week?
Yeah.
They signed him to an extension yet?
Right. And that's, I mean, there are people still saying, and these are national herds, shall we say, saying that he might just kind of not play this week, blame it on his calf just because he doesn't have a contract extension. Like, he put that to bed in his press conference today. And, he said, yeah, I'm not even worried about my contract. It's my 100, you know, my focus is completely on beating the Browns. Like, that stuff is get taken care of. Like, I'm happy with where things are going. And
so. Well, any national reporter that says that about Joe Burrow is they've never met the kid. They've never listened to him. You know, that's not what he's about. He's about his team, and he's about winning, and he's about putting the ball in the end zone.
Well, these are the same guys that said he needs to pull a John Elway or
beginning.
You know, Bengals aren't going to, they can't win with him. You know, they're a disaster franchise.
Here's the bullshit about that take. And I agree with you, Joe.
Yeah.
But all this time that people were like, you know, quarterbacks go to Cincinnati to die. It's like, you can talk about how bad the team was.
Yeah.
And you're not wrong. But like, Carson Palmer was the starting quarterback here for 7 years. Andy Dalton was the starting quarterback here for like 8 years. Jeff Blake had 3 or 4 years. Like, it's not like guys are here and like in and out. Like, you got Gus Frerotte and Scott Mitchell. Is that the quarterbacks that died here? Like, okay.
Yeah, right. And Blake had some really good years here.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
You had a couple years after Boomer, between Boomer and Blake. You had a couple years between Blake and Carson Palmer. And outside of that, 50 years of pretty much consistency. I mean, you had
Hell, even John Kitna started 2 years.
Yeah, and played well.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
and now he's coaching a bad high school team out here in my area.
Oh, that's right. He's at Lakota East, isn't he? He's at the not-so-good one. I mean, you go from Kenny Anderson to Boomer side. You know, I mean, the quarterbacks go to die, and they don't pay players. Carson Palmer was the highest paid player in football when he signed his contract.
Yeah.
Everyone talked about how oversight, like how Dalton's deal was like ridiculous and, you know, with paying him too much, you know, for a mediocre quarterback. I'm like, it can't be both ways. Like, quit, you know, we're not speaking of this person, Sydney. That's getting that out of here right now.
Not number 11. They could have
had an entire season's worth of, you know, an entire team's draft picks and still have gotten Akili Smith. If they had made the trade for the Ricky Williams,
Mike Ditka deal,
yeah,
that the draft pick that hurts for me more than that one is the trading back when they could have got Steven Jackson, they got Chris Perry. That's the one that hurts me.
Not getting John Ross instead of the guy who went right after him.
I mean, that's whatever, you know, like that happened.
I mean, I'm happy with who we have. Don't get me wrong.
Right? Yeah, but I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like, I'm not mad about Kajana Carter not working out and getting injured because, you know, everyone knew he was the guy. It just...
Oh, yeah, he was a beast. If he hadn't gotten hurt, I don't think running, you know, especially in this day and age, no one's going to draft a running back that high. But, I mean, he was going to be an absolute stud running back if he... And then he played in Detroit and blew his knee out. Why does anybody play preseason games in Detroit?
Yeah, Kenny Irons.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say Kenny Irons. And then Carson Palmer's first preseason game coming back from his knee injury was, I believe it was in Detroit. Now, granted, was that?
It was home against Green Bay on Monday night.
Was it? Okay. I was thinking it was, I think that preseason they played in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, but it's Ford Field, not the Silverdome, but still. Anyway, we're 25 minutes in and we haven't even started anything on the framework on our timeline here. We're doing really well, guys.
Who day?
That's why God invented alcohol.
Apparently, right, exactly. Apparently, we day.
Yeah, Tim, I need your. I can't find your sound effect for the getting back on track thing here. Anyway, what we're doing here basically is going to preview like team leaders of who we think is going to lead the team in a bunch of categories. Andre Smith, yes, Michael Sparks, the OT they drafted with the moves, who thought it was a good idea to run the combine with that shirt. that was, yeah.
Michael Sparks really is the Pat Magooch of the
Bengals show.
I was gonna say the Bengals never drafted me.
He actually turned out to be like a functional player. I mean, he didn't live up to his draft spot, but I mean, he was a decent starter for a handful of years and then kept coming back like
Hal Morris. Yeah, he was the Hal Morris of the Bengals. It was like, like, we got rid of him and he came back. Like,
I love Hal Morris. He hit a baseball like he was hitting a softball, just an absolute walk-up swing.
Rolled out of bed, got a base hit.
University of Michigan.
Now we're back to 90. Let's see how much further back we can go. I can talk about Greg Cook.
Oh, Lord.
We moved on to 1990s baseball.
Tim, can you tie this into 1970s basketball?
Oh, how much time you got? There was once a man by the name of Lou Alcindor.
I just watched Airplane not that long ago, so there you go. So you try dragging Lanier and
let your old man drag Lanier up and down the court.
Anyway, hey, Nate, who do you think is going to lead the team in rushing yards?
What are we doing here? Obviously, it's Joe Burrow.
In rushing yards, Joe Burrow.
he's shockingly fleet of foot.
Okay.
No, this one has really no room for argument. It's obviously Joe Mixon. He's going to lead in rushing yards and touchdowns. Obviously, the caveat of barring injury, but I don't like, do we have any faith in the backups? I mean, I was a big Samaje fan. Not that I thought he was going to set the world on fire, but I loved having him as a backup. Who's going to push Mixon to be the best version of himself this year?
I think Chase Brown leads the team in touchdowns.
I do too.
I think he's going to get the ball inside the five. He runs harder than Mixon does. I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the starter by the end of the year.
I think that's the goal, is to have him at least sharing carries.
5'9", 215. That is a kegerator.
First team All Big Ten. Yeah, like,
and runs with a purpose. My guess is he isn't going to get knocked down by an arm tackle like you see Joe do. Like we see Mixon do too often.
So y'all seriously see him taking Joe's
later goal in the snaps? Year?
Later in the year, but I think even early in the year, I think he's going to be your goal line running back.
Yeah, I also think like
Trevion Williams is
last year. They always seem to force feed Mixon. Sorry, I lost y'all there for a second, but it seems like they always try to force feed Mixon just to keep him involved in the game.
Yeah,
make sure that you had to at least honor the run game. So I feel like they're probably still going to do that again. But if this Brown can be more productive in the red zone, then he's got a chance to make an impact.
Well, a couple things there is like, so with Mixon, it seems like, you know, granted, but offensive line wasn't a great run blocking team. So, but it just felt like he couldn't run away from people anymore.
No.
And yeah, you know what I mean? And like, and the other thing too, is like with Chase Brown, and I'm not saying he's, you know, Samaje Perine by any means, but his pass blocking is a lot better than, hey, Joe, get down. They're coming.
That was a whole lot of Matador blocking that we've seen over the years by Joe Mixon. Just not good.
Well, and at least according to what I've read, Evans has really worked on his blocking and worked to improve it. And if he can pass block, he's going to get the third down snaps.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since we've had a running back that caught the ball as well as Evans does out of the backfield.
Yeah, it'd be that touchdown he had in the Chiefs game at home last year, the game-winning touchdown, what it ended up being, was unbelievable. I mean, that was such a hell of a play.
I like that kid. I mean, I
do too.
He's always further down the depth chart than I think he should be, but I'm not a practice and that kind of
right. thing. Yeah, I'm with you.
Always just seems like there's somebody that's something happens behind the scenes that keeps him down on the depth chart. I mean, he runs routes and catches like a wide receiver. He struggles running the ball. Actually, it seems like he struggles following the actual play design and hitting the hole where it's supposed to be. patience and things like that. He ran a lot better last couple games in the preseason. The blocking great in front of him wasn't great, but I like Chris Evans. I think he's fourth on the depth chart right now. I think he'll be fifth. Dimitri Felton, the guy they picked up from the Browns practice squad, he's pretty electric. They should activate him as the kick returner. I can see him taking Chris Evans' job as the kick returner at some point down the season. A lot of Browns people were kind of upset that they let him go. But I think Trevion Williams is listed as he's listed as number two on the depth chart. Who knows how that actually is going to break out in terms of, is he the one going to spell Mixon for a series? Who's going to be in on passing downs? Because third down running back isn't a thing anymore so much as just passing downs running back.
Right.
I'm play Madden.
And Williams has looked good when he's been healthy.
That's the problem, though. He's struggled to play to stay healthy since college. I mean, he's got a ton of ability. I mean, he had a heck of a plug catch and running against the Titans last year.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's a small back. He's 5'9", but I mean, he's thickly built. I mean, he's got absolutely like Barry Sanders like thighs on him and can just keep the pile churning.
So far, Joe has talked about men being thickly built, and then he said, I don't know if you saw any pictures of him getting off, talking about Miles Murphy. So Joe's knocking it out of the park so far. I love it.
Sexy times.
This is why we did this late at night.
Yes. While Joe's going wild.
That's why we go live in prime time.
We don't have a second dump roll. So, Nate, give me you say Joe Mixon. Give me a number for his yard so I can keep track and hold the receipts.
Oh, I think he's going to crack 1,000. I think he's going to have a 1,000-yard season. It's going to look a little bit better than he did last year. He's going to play 16 games. I think how many have last year? Only 14.
Something like that.
And I think we're just going to have a bit of a bounce back. I think that no expectations with a healthy receiving core and the depth they have, that he's going to have a lot less pressure than usual, and we're going to get a big Joe Mixon season. Not a single legal scandal to speak of.
No kids are going to get shot on his property playing Nerf.
If they do, it won't be his fault.
Fantastic.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, Tim, who do you have leading the team in rushing yards?
I'm going to go Mixon too. I am with Bill, though. I do believe Chase Brown will inevitably get first RB1 snaps down the road. But I think for the time being, I think we're looking at like an 875, 9 touchdown season from Mixon. And, you know, but I think it's just going to come down to wear and tear. I don't know, even with the Orlando Brown and those crew, like, yeah, maybe he can get to the second level, but I still don't feel like it's like all of a sudden he's going to be super explosive again. I just don't see how that just all of a sudden comes back for a running back who's done all the stuff he has.
It's never been there. His longest run in his career is 51 yards.
Does that count the Colts screen pass he caught his rookie year?
This was run. So
okay.
Yeah. He's got a longer pass reception, but his longest actual carry is only 51 yards, which is kind of hard to believe for someone who's gotten as many carries and he's got decent speed when they have the the actual like they clock miles an hour and everything. He's usually one of the fastest on the Bengals, and I don't know if he just takes bad angles, runs out of gas. He can't get past that third level.
I do also think, like, as much as we're talking about him kind of wearing down, we're talking bad about him. I think he's gotten robbed a couple of years of like higher recognition within the league. He's led the AFC in rushing before and didn't get a Pro Bowl, and he's never been All Pro. And it's like, I think he had a year or two there where you could have had that conversation at least.
Sure. I mean, he should have at least made 2 Pro Bowls, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, 2021, I mean, he had a great year in 2021.
Yeah, he did.
All right, Bill. Yep. Well,
he's on the backside of his career. We all admit that. You know, and there's and there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody hit. You know, what Father Time's undefeated. You know.
Yeah.
I would put him at. I'm close to what Tim. I was like 850, something like that. And I think he'll get. You know, Nick Mixon will probably get like 5 touchdowns, and I think Brown will probably be at the 7 or 8 mark.
I'm just thinking Mixon had 814 rushing yards last year in 14 games with that garbage offensive line. I think with the weapons they have in the receiving core, this improved offensive line, I think he's going to have a big year. But I'm just, you know me, I'm always an optimist.
I think the run game's going to have a good year. He was one of the most efficient. Well, the Bengals as a team were one of the most efficient running teams with the, basically from the middle of the Baltimore game, the first Baltimore game last year, when they stopped going under center and was an absolute dead giveaway. Hey, we're going to hand the ball off. Mixon is terrible for giving away the play just by the way he's standing, you know, but by the way he's lined up in the backfield. They switched to doing a lot of shotgun runs. They ran a lot more RPOs in preseason, which, yeah, it wasn't with Burrow, but that's probably part of the game plan. If they do that, I think the running game is going to stay crazy productive. If anyone who's watched and heard me on any of these, I'm not a Mixon fan personally, and I think he's replaceable as a player, but I still think he's over 1,000 yards. I've actually got him at 1,100 this year, only because I think they're going to run the ball really effectively. He's not going to be, again, more explosive. They had the fewest amount of 10-plus yard carries in the league. It was almost half as many as the next closest team.
So, Joe, you're saying he's going to get a lot of carries then?
I think he's just going to be efficient. I think he's going to be 4.5 yards a carry. And, yeah, he's still going to get a lot of carries, but I think towards the end of the year, they're going to try to space them out more with more than anyone, probably Chase Brown, because he's the heir apparent. I mean, that's what they drafted him for.
Jamar Chase is watching right now, and he's going, we ain't running the ball that damn much.
No.
I would be happy as hell if Jamar Chase were watching this right now. Like, we got one live person right now, and if that's Jamar, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. I feel like it's Sydney.
Throw some tickets our way.
Well, that's a more fun conversation, right? Because Joe Mixon's RB1 no matter what.
Yeah.
But the Bengals have two number one wide receivers. Maybe absolutely. Three if you count Yoshi.
And as much as I want to see Yoshi like have a huge season, like he's wide receiver 5. Last year, Trent Irwin was wide receiver 4, and he only had a couple hundred yards receiving. Like, people were trying to say, oh, well, he's going to have a big year, and he's going to catch like 300 or 400 yards. That's not what happens.
Yeah.
If he does, if somebody's hurt.
Right.
Exactly. Trent Irwin had 15 catches for 231 yards last year. Both running backs got more receptions and both and more yards. Plus, we haven't talked about Irv Smith. Yoshi, I absolutely think that Yoshi should build the Trent Irwin role, because Trent Irwin, he's fine for someone just to come in and fill up a few a few snaps, but for somebody who's actually, if you need someone to fill in a game, somebody's out, he's absolutely the guy, I think, because he offers stuff that none of the other backups do.
Yeah,
he's huge. He's fast. He can high point the ball.
You mentioned Irwin's yards. How many of those came on that flea flicker in the Cleveland home game?
Yeah, that was
that's probably 43 of them.
I think it was. Yeah. It was around midfield. It was 45, something like that. Let's see. I can find the longest here.
It's okay.
It doesn't say. Yeah, that's too much. Too much work for me. I'm not that. Not too much. Caring about that. So who do you guys have with the most? I mean, this kind of seems like an easy question. Last year, Nate went off the board and went with T. Higgins. Though, who do you have with the most yards? And you were almost right. You were almost right. T was so close to Higgins to Chase in yards. It was 1046 to 1029.
And they both missed time. That's pretty fascinating. Exactly. Yeah.
So Bill, we'll start with you. Who do you think has the most receiving yards?
I think it's Chase and Chase. I mean,
if
he stays healthy, if he doesn't miss games, there's nobody can cover the man. I mean, he's a beast.
Just the one play on in the AFC Championship game, and it's the fucking Chase is down there somewhere. Okay, flip figure was 25 yards.
Thank you, Sydney.
On fourth down, Burrow just throws it down the field in double coverage, and Chase just goes up and catches the ball. And he's not even your high point specialist.
Yeah, it was the Andy Dalton play. Fuck it, throw it to AJ.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, he's down there somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he can make any catch. He runs with the ball like a running back. He's a stud.
That's my thing. His lower half is huge. Let's keep the euphemisms going. My man is a powerhouse down south.
I mean, I was just talking about the guys, about some guys' thighs. That was,
and he's got a gear that nobody else has. Yeah. He just hits it.
He could go all the way if he hits that gear.
Yeah, I don't know if he throws y'all it ever
into fifth and just.
I don't know if y'all ever listened to the Ryan Russillo podcast, but he says it all the time. He's like, I think Justin Jefferson's probably the best receiver in the NFL, but I'll take Ja'Marr Chase every time. Because it's those little intangibles, like that mean streak he has to him, the power, the strength, and this huge lower half. I think Ja'Marr Chase is a one of one in the NFL.
We don't need to be talking about guys' lower half. I mean,
there are very few people that are as talented as he is at all of the extra things that is also they're also as fast and strong as he is.
I completely agree.
He's so good.
He's my pick too, for what it's worth.
If he stays healthy, he will be the best wide receiver the Bengals have ever had.
Yeah,
he's definitely the most talented. I can't wait to see. They've been using him a lot more in the slot. And can you imagine them running four wides with Chase and Boyd in the slot and
he's using his huge lower half in the slot? I love it.
Right, you need to. Good night.
I just fired myself. Gotta go.
Nate's gonna get it's gonna get a nasty email from HR.
Isn't he HR?
Right. My mom's gonna watch this. Very disappointed.
Nate's gonna get a nasty letter from himself.
Damn it, Nate, what were you doing?
Oh Lord. Imagine how bad this is gonna be Saturday.
It'll be fun.
Just gonna get this train back on the track.
Moving on.
Chasing his lower half. Yeah, I've got him breaking his single season receiving yards record. Approaching 1,500 yards. I got him for a dozen touchdowns. I think that might even be a little conservative guess.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that if we get to the some betting predictions. I love Ja'Marr Chase's over just about on every stat.
Yeah, same.
Though I'm not sure he's going to lead the team in receiving touchdowns. I think my boy T might challenge him on that.
Burrow's going to throw a shitload of touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I mean, someone's going to have to get him to catch him. And it can't always be Chase.
I feel like
they've got six guys sitting on Chase's chest.
Right.
They're going to have to throw to somebody else.
Right. Exactly.
Irv Smith's going to be like, man, I never had it this easy with Kirk Cousins. but, you know, I also believe Chase. I really believe Chase is going to end up being the offensive player of the year in the NFL this year. I think he's going to have that kind of year.
Stealing my thunder on my only dads. That should be us, not only fans.
Only dads.
Yes.
Wow. Only dads.
Anyway. Bill Wolfs, who do you have leading the Bengals in sacks this year?
Live shows are fun,
aren't they?
I'll go first. I've got Hendrickson leading the team in sacks.
Seems pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, pretty probably. You know, I'm hoping better year than last year. Maybe 8, 9.
See, and he was, and you look at his pressure rate and the amount of pressures, and he was actually as good last year as he was in 2021. It's just he wasn't as good at converting them because there wasn't as much. I think. There wasn't as much push up the middle. So if you could push up the middle, that guy has to, the quarterback has to escape, you know, try to escape out, you know.
And he missed what, three games?
What's that?
He missed three games, two, three games?
Did he?
He missed two.
Yeah, two games, I was going to say.
Okay. And played one with what, a broken wrist or something?
Yeah.
he had broken wrist for a while. I mean,
he's a G.
He had 8 sacks last year, and I think that easily could have been 10 or 11, even with some of the more confusing metrics out there, but I'm with Bill. I think Trey has a big bounce back year, and I think we are talking about with a healthy 17 games, some defensive player of the year buzz.
He extended, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, he's signed through 25 now.
And I think that's a huge extension for the Bengals. I think that's just big time.
Flew under the radar.
Yeah.
I'll go Hendrickson as well. I think he's this is another double-digit sack year for him. But I'm not counting out my guy Mike Hilton, the best blitzing corner in football.
I love it.
Picking up a handful this year, maybe four or five. I mean, cool. he comes off the line as a blitzing corner. It seems like he's unstoppable.
How did he have no sacks last year?
Dude, he's so good as a run stopper. I mean, plus, like, you know, he left the worst city in the world to come here. Like, yeah.
He is 5'9", 180 pounds of dog. Someone that small. And you see the hits that he put on
Allen. He hits like a train.
Josh Allen is a goddamn horse. I mean, he's 6'5", he's listed at 240. I'd say he's a couple cheeseburgers over that. He's a big boy. And he knocked him on his ass by himself a couple times. He took down Derrick Henry all by himself. And again, he's a small cornerback. He's, you know, I tower over him. I'm a whole 6'1".
That's the one thing about this Bengals defense that's changed over the last couple of years is they tackle, and they tackle well now. I can remember years and years and years when they got run through arm tackles and got run over and pushed around. And this team tackles, and especially their cornerbacks. Their cornerbacks tackle exceptionally well.
It's something that they stress. You can tell with the guys that they've drafted and the guys that they've brought in. I mean, the entire defensive backfield. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if you remember our old friend Ifeanyi Oualede.
Loved him.
Like, that guy was an absolute just. Sadly, I am not. He was in the era of Chris Crocker, another guy who
Medea Williams
went about 85 times. What's that?
Medea Williams was.
Yeah, Medea Williams.
He laid the lumber.
Yeah.
I thought he was a character on The Simpsons.
So is Ken Griffey Jr. So
right, Marquez Manuel, who's a or Marquan Manuel, who's a he's a
the Saints.
Yeah, he's the defensive coordinator, I think.
Yeah,
so they had a lot of guys who weren't good at tackling coming out of that backfield, but that's not a problem with these guys now. No. So
do you think if we did the Oklahoma drill where Mike Hilton and Brock Lesnar ran into each other, he could get Brock Lesnar to budge?
I think he could. But if he got around his legs, he wouldn't be running.
Yeah.
He'd get him down.
I agree.
How big is Brock Lesnar? About 280?
6'3", 280.
Okay, that was – okay. And, I mean, that's – again, Josh Allen's 245. That's not just an extra 35 pounds. I mean, that's
–
he's not just bringing him down single-handedly in the open field, but he's at least able to, you know, to – make him change direction a little bit.
He's holding on to that leg until somebody else got there.
Yeah, that's right. He won't move. But until Cam Taylor Britt comes and takes the top off.
Right.
Yeah, he will.
That's another guy. I think he's primed to have a huge season.
Well, that leads us into our next category.
Yeah, I was going to say, who do you have as leading the team in interceptions? I've got Daxilla just because as a free safety, you know, he's the guy playing center field, and I think he's going to, you know, get more chances back there. But Cam Taylor Britt, I mean, that guy is an absolute dog.
Love
he
him.
Just mm-hmm. busts his ass. He's another guy who hits so hard. You only have to teach him one less, you know, teach him once, and he'll, you know, never have to teach him the same thing again.
I expect
I think he's primed for a huge.
Yeah, I agree. I just expect his game to keep elevating.
Yeah.
I'm going Logan Wilson.
Okay.
I've got Taylor Britt leading the team tonight. I think they're going to go after him early until they learn they shouldn't.
Teams are going to be afraid to throw the sidelines. Logan Wilson's going to have the middle just to pick apart.
That he is at, like, he is awesome at his drops, being able to just get depth in coverage, especially if he's faking a blitz and just cover up the middle of that field. I mean, how long the Bengals had terrible linebackers for in coverage, and now they've got two of the best.
Nick Vigil, remember that guy?
Yeah. And he was a decent coverage linebacker for what they had. I mean, Ray Maluga playing three downs when he couldn't cover you or me out in the open, you know, on the open field.
Ray
Eli Apple was in Florida with Tyreek Hill. So those had to be some fun practices.
Yeah.
Nate, did we get your pick?
I'm also going with Dax. I think teams are going to try to pick on him early, using inexperience as their justification, and they're going to get burned. I think the guy showed a lot of talent. He's athletic as all get out, and I think he's going to have a monster year.
I could see Dak still having one of those like Reggie Nelson, like wrong place at the right time seasons where he gets like six or seven picks. It's just because he's like right there when the ball gets tipped.
Tip
in the
balls
end.
And tip balls.
Yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, just the one play that against Green Bay in preseason when Jordan Love had Christian Watson beat deep. I think it was Alan George was on the coverage and he wasn't even in the same area code. And Dax Hill comes screaming from the numbers. Perfect angle to the sideline. It gets there right as the ball is reaching Christian Watson. It's just absolute perfect. Wow. Eli Snapple. That's pretty good, Michael.
We're here for all dad jokes and the riverfront. All of them.
I like that. But yeah, I mean, you see his just the range that he has, the speed, the athletic ability, and he read the pass. I mean, he was on his way before before Love even threw the ball. Like he read his eyes and so, you know, so I think he's going to be an absolute stud. It might take a little bit, you know, a handful of weeks for the safeties to kind of gel. Cause again, they really didn't get games. They just have 6 weeks of camp, but I really think that the safeties are going to be net positive this year.
Yeah. So I'm through the moon excited about Nick Scott, man. I think he's going to be a lot of fun on this team.
I'm curious. I mean, he's got athletic ability. He's different than Von Bell. Von Bell was not known for his coverage ability until he was, surprisingly.
Until he murdered Juju Smith-Schuster.
The Ryan Finley game. My Lord. I wasn't even watching that. I wasn't able to watch that game because I was working, and I would have loved to have seen that happen live.
It was pretty awesome.
Man. But, yeah, I mean, he's – kind of taking over Von Bell's spot on the field, you know, as the strong safety. Now, Lou Anarumo keeps things kind of nebulous. He likes everyone being able to play any kind of position. That's why Dax Hill, you know, will cover guys in the slot. But yeah, I mean, Nick Scott has a lot of athletic ability, which Bell didn't. I mean, Bell was a more of an in the box safety, and he's fast. I think he ran a 4.3, which pretty much everybody in the backfield did, unless you're DJ Turner, who ran a 4.2. Another guy that we're going to be talking a lot about.
Stoked about him.
Half of the season. Juan Drago, my God.
Yeah, I'm stoked about him.
The other guy jumping ahead into another section here, the guy that I really like, and I think he's going to play more than most people think is Battle.
I do too.
And he's another guy that'll come up and put a lick on you.
Yeah, he's
he didn't stop it, mate. Good Lord. We graduated from the sixth grade, for God's sake.
And he put, he put a lick on Jamar Chase's huge lower half. Have we seen that in practice?
Oh, man.
We're having fun.
We got this again in 3 days?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. With more of us, that's...
And more alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm drinking unleaded here. I'm not going to be drinking unleaded when I get there.
No. I'm hydrating right now.
I love it.
For the weekend.
Anyway.
I'm warming up myself.
Battle. I completely forgot where we were. I don't know how much we're actually going to see him, though. If you remember last year, everyone talked about how great Dax Hill looked in preseason. And, I mean, he looked like the best safety since Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. And we never saw him in the regular season. And as Lou put, I don't rotate safeties.
That's a good point. That's a real good point.
So they might see him in three safety sets. I think Dax Hill is going to start out the season as the designated safety, or I mean, as a designated tight end.
Cover guy.
Cover, taking over Trey Flowers' role. So then, yeah, you'd have Battle and Nick Scott back there as your more traditional safeties. Well, but I don't think he's going to be in outside of a handful of snaps in a game. But he's got the intelligence. He's got the leadership ability. I mean, he was a multi-year captain at Alabama, for God's sakes.
Right. And, and I'll tell you what where I went with this is I'm not sold on Dax Hill yet.
Really?
And we talked about this a little bit last time I was on, Joe, and the little bit he played last year, he didn't look good. Now, he's out of position. I understand that. But what concerned me most was he made – mistakes on special teams that he should have been smart enough not to make. And that's the kind of stuff that concerns me. I hope
there were special teams penalties that were, you know, like running out of bounds. And, you know,
and I hope I'm completely wrong. I hope the guy wakes all pro. But he has, you know, the one play in preseason isn't enough to change my opinion of him yet.
And again, that's kind of the issue with having to replace two safeties. You don't have that safety net of the other guy who you can rely on.
Right.
This is all just kind of talking about raw athletic ability and potential that they've shown. And I don't see there being any issues with them, but yeah, I understand that. I mean, I'm not sold on Battle. I'm not sold on Nick Scott. I'm not sold on Tyson Anderson. You know, I mean, just let's see him in an actual game.
We get on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they'll get tested. I mean, it's Deshaun Watson's going to try to massage the secondary to, you know, see what he can rub out and see what happens.
See if he can get a happy ending.
Nate, this whole episode, now you're not.
I was told by Sydney to stop.
That's not really what it's about, Sydney. It's about being immature boys.
Facts.
We are football analysts here, and we're just trying to break down. You know, we haven't even spoken a whole lot about a tight end or anything like that in the slot.
Sure. Well, Greg's not here, so he's not the one to get us in for all that stuff.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, hey, let's get back on track here. Burrow passing yards. I've got Burrow stats. I've got him throwing 4,700 yards, 38 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I'm very specific. I don't like round numbers. Tim?
I mean, if he does that, what do we MVP?
That's MVP, you know, one or two in the MVP race.
Question, how many 5,000-yard passers have we had?
Bengals, none.
The NFL?
Brady, Breeze? Manning, Breeze, and Mahomes. I think those are the only four.
And did they all win MVP?
That's a lot of we got to get research information.
I think so. At least 3 out of 4 of them. So, if that's the case, I'm just going to throw it out there. Joe's going to hit 5,000 passing yards with a healthy season, 17th game, our guy's going to win MVP.
300 or 400 yards difference over the course of a season really isn't that much.
Yeah. If he gets a healthy T and a healthy Jamar all season long.
Well, he's also going to play 2 games against Jesus Christ. I mean, Kenny Pickett, apparently, if you read all the stuff about him. So that could potentially keep him off the field in those 2 games. I'm kidding. Yeah.
He's going to be too busy genuflecting.
Yeah. I'm going 48-50, 40 touchdowns, Joe Burrow.
48-50.
I'm in the neighborhood with both of you guys, you know, somewhere in 4,700 range. And my big thing is, I'm looking at, you know, 10 interceptions, 8 of them on deflected passes.
Yeah.
Right. 4 of them to TJ Watt.
You know, he's going to have his annual murder of the Ravens game. That's going to happen. And he's got to play the Texans and the Colts this year. Like,
yeah, but he'll be out of the game by halftime, and those and the Cardinals. They play the Cardinals.
Forgot about the Cardinals.
From your mouth to God's ear, Joe.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be like the was that the Panthers game when they were up. I mean that game was JV score.
I watched that game in Disney World, wearing my Joe Burrow jersey, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "I took the Bengals +7. Do you feel good about that?" And I said, "Would you only take 7?"
I think we're good. See, that's where I watched the first Ravens game was at Disney World during the or Magic Kingdom during the fireworks, waiting to go in to have at Bell's Castle. So I understand the understand that there. Hey, did you give me touchdowns for Burrow? I know you said 5,000 yards.
Touchdowns, I think. What did he have last year? He had
35. Yeah, 35 touchdowns. Broke his record of 34 from the year before.
Let's give him 40. Let's make it a nice round number.
Okay. All right.
I agree, Joseph Kaditsa.
Sydney said 50 tutties. She's feeling
it.
I loved it.
I'm down with that.
I'm completely okay with 50 tutties.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Yes, Joey B is my fantasy guy. What are we talking fantasy guy though?
Yeah, Joe.
You gotta clarify on this podcast.
We're trying to be good here.
Hang on. let's make sure. Because I mean, we
fantasy might mean something different in Canada. You know,
for what it's worth, it works both ways. He's a handsome man.
What's the exchange rate on double entendres here? Is it like 3.5 entendres?
Yeah, I think we passed it. Whatever it is.
Everyone's in Disney for during the middle of the Bengals season.
It's the best time to go, man. No one's there.
I know. Well, there's still plenty of people there. There's never nobody there.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I drafted Burrow in our own little Riverfront private fantasy draft, and I'm happy about him. So,
who's the number one pick, Joe?
I believe it was Mahomes.
We're in a two quarterback league, so
quarterbacks we've got a super flex.
Okay.
Yeah. Not happy about my second quarterback. I don't even remember who it is, but it wasn't great. But I had one of the higher rated drafts, so we're good.
Congratulations.
We're going over a lot of the rookie. I was going to kind of predict how the rookies were going to do. Just real quick, I mean, Miles Murphy's not going to do much till the second half. I think we're kind of agreed on that, right?
Yep.
DJ Turner he's not going to get a lot of run outside of special teams until or unless there's an injury or when there's a blowout and they pull the defensive starters out. But I think he's absolutely on track to be a starter next year when probably Cheetah's going to leave in free agency. Everyone on the same page on that one?
Yeah. Of course, we thought Pratt or Wilson would be gone too. And yeah. So who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Battle, I think he's just going to be a special teamer this year. He'll get some run again just as a third safety when, especially when they're playing. I mean, they're playing the Niners, so they need someone to cover Kittle, and when they're covering Mark Andrews and Kelsey. But outside of that, I don't see Battle getting a whole lot of run short of, injuries or, anything like that.
I like him a lot, but I see your logic. I really do. It makes a lot of sense.
I mean, you give him a year just to kind of sit back and watch these guys go, and I think he's going to be absolutely challenging somebody for a starting spot next year. Chuck Sizzle, Charlie Jones, I don't have him doing a whole lot on offense. He's, I guess, the slot wide receiver in waiting for next year, but I don't see him getting more than 5-10 catches this year. He didn't show much of an ability to get a lot of separation. You breathed on him and he fell over, so he's not getting a lot of yards after contact.
Didn't we say this stuff about Jamar Chase's rookie preseason?
Well, I mean, Chase couldn't, but I mean, these were things
he couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
My thing on Charlie Jones is the only way he has any kind of numbers at all is if Boyd gets hurt.
Well, and I think if that happens, then they move Chase, run Chase a lot out of the slot. Because he can run. They're going to run him everywhere.
Yeah.
He's going to be bad.
I got him with like 10 catches on the whole year.
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of,
Which is crazy because, like, his Big Ten championship game, he went wild. He went nuts.
Yeah.
Who's he taking catches away from?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Again, Chase Brown, I think we all think he's going to have a pretty big role. Maybe, I got maybe 400 yards on the ground, probably maybe 400 yards in the air. I see him making a lot of plays out of the backfield, catching the ball.
I've got him at 8 or 9 touchdowns.
I especially as the year goes on and, if they're trying to salt games away and he keeps showing, he's a pile mover. Because, he converted a lot of didn't get a ton of yards in preseason, but he was moving the pile on short yardage plays. They needed one, he'd get 1.5. So
he runs hard and holds on to the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right on this podcast.
Hold on. Yes. Never forget to hold on to your balls. Yoshi, I got him 15 catches, 255 yards, 3 touchdowns. I'd love to see more, but I don't want anyone else to not get the ball. Like, who are you taking the ball away from? Tyler Boyd?
Yeah.
You're taking away from Higgins or Chase. I mean, good Lord.
Think he's a gunner on special teams.
He was doing a lot on showing some, and he shows a lot of aggressiveness.
I think Battle will be a gunner, and I could see Yoshi being a gunner.
Yeah, especially I mean they've let go some of the special teamers from last year, especially Uncle Mike, the safety. I don't know how if Stanley Morgan's going to be active on game days. They love having him around, and I think he's on. They brought him back on the practice squad, so he's presumably not going to be active much. So I definitely see Yoshi as a gunner. He's got a lot, especially even you seen him blocking. There was a screen pass to Shedrick Jackson. I think it was the third preseason game, and he went after it. Yoshi absolutely went after the secondary trying to just clear a path. So it, again, just seeing him use his size.
That's the other thing that, you know, we talked about how well the secondary tackles. Now that's the other thing that's changed on this team. These wide receivers like the block and they're good at it.
Yeah.
Even Chase.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, some of these guys, you know, some of the times you want to be like, don't, you know, like let off a little bit. I don't want you guys getting hurt, you know, blocking downfield to get, you know, to get someone a couple extra yards, but still love seeing it. Brad Robbins, I don't care what he does. He has the most fantastic mustache.
Yep.
Just pump the ball up in the air. Just, you know, again, I'm 47 yards gross, 44 yards net. Just let him make him fair catch it. I'm happy with that.
Yep. And don't punt in the end zone. There's nothing that infuriates me more than a punt bouncing into the end zone. We're going in on a fly.
How about a line drive punt to a dangerous punt returner in the AFC Championship game?
Well,
Chrisman's back to doing a DoorDash.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Anyway, now to the fun part here. Just going over quick futures bets and things like that. Joe Burrow's passing yardage is set at 4,349.5 yards. I think we all went over on that. So
over.
Yeah, we're all good on that one, right?
Yep.
Okay. 33.5 touchdowns. I think we all went over on that one. Joe Mixon, 825.5 yards. I think we all went over on that one, right?
No, I don't think I would. I really don't.
You said 850, so you were right about this. So
okay. I'm close. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you can change somewhere.
It's close enough.
I'm going to guess over, but I wouldn't put any money on it.
Yeah, I mean, it running back.
I wouldn't take this bet.
Yeah. Exactly. Stay away. That's a stay away.
Yeah.
Same thing with the touchdowns. I mean, it's 6.5, and I mean he can absolutely have, you know, 15 touchdowns. I mean, he had 4 touchdowns in 1.5 this year, but I've got him going under because again, yeah, I do think Chase Brown's going to.
I was all over over on this one, but Bill convinced me that Chase Brown's going to be a viable flex fantasy option, so I might have to rethink this.
And you know I'm always right, Nate. So, you know.
This is true. I've come to learn this.
And the Bengals are a huge pass-heavy team anyway. So, it's, you know.
Excuse me.
No, this Joey's letting us know how much the loonies, the transfer or the conversion rate is for loonies to U.S. dollars.
Oh, good. I was worried about that.
I'm glad to know.
It's devalued by 8 cents in the last 5 minutes. That's Canada. Man. What a joke.
Look at that in an investment there.
Yeah, must listen to this podcast
because we're gonna buy Canada tomorrow.
Do they want us to buy them?
It's part of the Joe Burrow extension. We give you Canada, like Sabrina Nescu when she like signed with the New York Liberty was like, I want to be on the cover of NBA 2K, and it happened.
Hilarious. That's a little WNBA.
When we're pulling WNBA stuff
fun
out
there, fact for you right
reaching
there.
Now, boy.
Tim Daniel, consummate.
Tim's showing how deep he is. He's just showing how deep he can go.
Yeah,
who gets to claim ownership of Joey Votto?
He's the man.
Yes, he is.
So who gets to claim ownership of Joey Votto, though?
No one.
Maybe. Joey Votto's zone.
He's his own island. That's cool. I'll go live in Joey Votto land.
He's an independent city-state.
Like the Vatican.
Yeah.
Joey Votto is the Vatican.
I'm going to apply for residency.
Maybe he'll be the next Pope.
Don't threaten me with a good time, Bill.
Someone needs to Photoshop him with one of the big old goofy Pope hats. That would be
he'd look good in the hat.
In the Pope-mobile.
But can he be riding nibbles?
The Pope-mobile.
Yeah. In the Pope-mobile? Okay. I was going to say, I'd rather see him riding nibbles than the Pope-mobile. Wasn't that his horse when he was the when he's dressed as the Mountie?
Oh, the Mountie! Did we lose control here?
we never had control.
I don't think we ever had control. I think the premise is mistaken.
Giving us way too much credit. Former Oregon Duck. Who was the former Oregon Duck?
Sabrina Nescu.
Oh, okay. I was confused because we've kind of been all over. Like Votto wasn't a duck. He was. Yeah.
Do we have your email still to get to?
Actually, we do have a couple emails. What's up?
Real quick, I got to take off. So I just want to say one more thing before I go. Quick prediction. I've got the boys finishing 15-2.
Wow.
I think they are going to lose on the road at San Francisco, and they're going to lose on the road at Tim Daniels' favorite city and where he owns an Airbnb that he stays in 7 weekends a year, Pittsburgh.
Not true at all.
I think the otherwise the Bengals are going to be favored in every game except for maybe on the road at Kansas City. I think Kansas City is going to have a decent year, but we don't know about Travis Kelce. Their wide receiver core is like they're playing with fire. They don't have a single wide receiver worth a darn, except for maybe Kadarius Toney, and he's not exactly known for his health. So I think Chiefs.
Yeah. Also, Chris Jones hasn't reported yet, and they play a game tomorrow. So
exactly. So
go Lions.
That's what I got.
That trade
15-2.
Has not come off.
Nate, appreciate you coming on.
Bye, Nate. See you Love Saturday, you brother.
See you Friday. I pick up from the airport.
Yeah, Tim, you're the best. Love Tim's you guys.
Tim is our Uber driver.
Peace.
Hey, brother.
They let him on an airplane?
He's got to go under an assumed identity.
Oh, okay. He's flying as Chad.
Yeah. So that's why Chad isn't on that flight. That's why he's coming later. He's got to find his own.
Yeah. Michael Sparks, my dog. Yeah. I hate Pittsburgh more than I hate onions and ketchup, so.
Onions on ketchup or onions and ketchup?
Both, plural.
Okay.
Are you one of those no ketchup on hot dog guys?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm no ketchup on anything guy.
Oh, okay.
You know what ketchup's really good on? Cheddar Mets. You guys ever had a Cheddar Met?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, those are so damn good. That's my, as a German-American, like, that is my gift to the world.
You know what else is great? Hot, spicy Cheddar Met. Cheddar Wurst.
The jalapeno cheddar? Yeah, those are good. Johnsonville? Oh, that's good stuff. Hey, so what did you guys pick for your futures, for your wild card futures bet?
As far as the teams?
Yeah, for the Bengals.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You weren't there for the So I've got like Jamar Chase.
Look at your notes.
What's that?
I'm looking at your notes.
I just don't know what that futures bet means.
For the Bengals in an award, Bengals in an award, the best bet for Bengals.
This
is where you say offensive player of the year?
Yeah, I took Chase for that.
I can see that. Or Burrow is MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase is plus 1,100 on FanDraft or on FanDuel for the offensive player of the year. Burrow's odds for MVP, they've actually dropped. He was listed as the favorite. He's now down to plus 750. Plus 700, plus 750 across the board, depending on
what a strained calf will do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, apparently some people think that if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beat the Lions tomorrow without Travis Kelce, no one should ever question him again, because beating a team they're favored by seven points against makes him somehow Jesus of the footballs.
I mean, the Lions offense are going to be a bunch of bad dudes, but that defense is. Woof.
Yeah. They make some good moves.
Are they in Kansas City or Detroit? I can't remember.
Kansas City is ring night. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're playing at home. And anyway,
I don't want to know.
I don't even want to know what that means.
Cheddarwurst gave you trust issues as a child, Michael.
I've got a bad joke, very off-color thing.
Well, Nate's not here anymore, so.
I it's like, did someone tell you it was cheese and it really wasn't?
Oh God.
Oh wow.
Oh Lord.
Let's get back to the football.
Hey, back to football. Hey, so we got a couple quick viewer mail questions. We need to get out of here. It's gone on too long, and I got to pee. From our good friend Joey Gaditza, my question is T. Higgins the best wide receiver two in the league? I think I've seen arguments for Waddle, Smith, and Davis too, but I don't know. I think T. has them all beat. Hell, he could be wide receiver one on lots of teams. Absolutely can confirm. Hard agree.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, I don't think I think he's 1B. I don't think he's 2. You know what I mean? Like the way that the offense moves. I said AJ Green's my favorite Bengal of all time, But I feel like T. Higgins is like the second coming of healthy AJ Green.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
I think Ja'Marr Chase is phenomenal, but I've seen T. Higgins make a lot harder catches, more difficult.
I agree.
Than I've ever seen Chase have to make. I'm not saying he couldn't make it. I'm just saying I've never seen him have to make
them. Yeah, and it's the there was a stat that was out, PFF put out, on passes 15 yards down, you know, 15 yards or further downfield. Ja'Marr Chase, I believe, from, you know, presumably from Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, the highest completion percentage. And T. Higgins, and this is in the entire NFL. I mean, any wide receiver available, and T. Higgins has the highest passer rating on passes 15 yards downfield. So, I mean, pick your poison. T. Higgins, yeah, he can make the more difficult catch because he's bigger, he's stronger, he's got the ability just to jump up and over and Randy Moss people.
I think he's bigger and can jump. You'd have to convince me that he's stronger than Ja'Marr Chase.
I think he is. I mean, you look. I mean, he's got a couple inches on him, so his arms are a couple inches longer, but he's upper body strength at least. I mean, Chase has, as we're very aware, has a huge lower half.
At least Nate's been watching his lower half. You know.
Somebody has to. Might as well be Nate.
Everybody has to have a job around here, and that's Nate's.
The official lower half watcher for the Riverfront. But yeah, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, those are both like they're probably the next two best second options on their team. Gabe Davis, I don't think anybody thinks Gabe Davis outside of Gabe Davis thinks that he's the best wide receiver too.
Stevie Johnson too.
Yeah, Bills fans don't even really care for him. He makes a lot of drops and just inconsistent as hell. He makes a huge play.
He did have that awesome 96-yard touchdown against the Steelers, and I will forever be grateful for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Doesn't mean I don't like the guy. Doesn't mean he doesn't, you know, can't come up with phenomenal moments so long as they're just not against the orange and black.
Yeah.
Last viewer mail question, Mike Perry. Here's my question. The last two seasons, Bengals got off to a slow start with Burrow's cap injury and other roster changes. What should we expect from the team over the first few weeks? Domination. No. Nobody has any concerns about Burrow's calf, like slowing them down. The only change on offense is Orlando Brown. The other four offensive linemen are still, you know, were there last year. I mean, Jonah Williams flipped to the other side, but you still have your running back. You still have your wide receivers. You've got a new tight end, but Burrow doesn't care who the tight end is. The Bengals don't care about tight ends, or they would have drafted one at some point in the past couple years. There's no reason that they should have a slow start, I don't think.
I've got them winning at least their first six games.
Yeah. I mean, the Browns play them incredibly tough. I think Irv Smith is the best pass catcher that he's had at receiver or at tight end. I mean, Hayden Hurst was a dude. He was a good all-around tight end. But, yeah, Irv Smith can do things that, if he stays on the field, that Hayden Hurst can't do. And C.J. Uzomah was just a guy who got thrown into the role and made a shitload of money because Joe Burrow is really fucking good at his job.
And now he's got Aaron Rodgers, who's like, you know, not as good as he used to be, but still fairly decent.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's like one of 85 tight ends they have, though. They've got a lot of tight ends.
And he's had trouble staying healthy up there.
Yeah. So.
And I hate the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Never really cared for him. Never mind, you know, forgetting all the crap about 2009 when they smoked them in the last game of the season when no one cared, and then smoked them in the playoffs.
The only thing I like about the Jets is Boomer was there.
That was bittersweet, though. I mean, yeah, he's a New York guy, a Long Island guy, but they don't play in New York. They play in Jersey.
But then he came back here and played well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Beat the defending Super Bowl champion Cowboys in 97.
And then the Bengals started to count on him, and he quit and went to the protest. He said, hey, Mike, watch this.
Yeah. See what you did to me with David Klingler?
Yeah, that's right.
And now he's making a whole hell of a lot more money on the broadcast booth than he ever made on the field. I think we pretty much beat the
He's still a Bengals fan. And anytime he has to pick a game, he always picks the Bengals.
Yeah, he's a logical, like he's not like a crazy homer, but yeah, he's definitely does pull for them better than most of the other guys do. So
love to see him.
He's better than Cowher with the Steelers because the Steelers can be the, you know, the worst team by 40 points in a game, and he's still picking the Steelers.
Yeah.
Chin, I hate that turd. Cannot stand him. I think we've kind of beat this to death and back. It's yeah, now he's permanent laryngitis. Yeah. Like we you know, we've kind of droned on and barely stayed on task. Bill, you got any final thoughts before we boogie on out of here?
The only thing I want to talk about, and I want to vent on Kenny Anderson and the screwing he got by the Hall of Fame. And I posted somewhere, I don't know if it was on Twitter or wherever, that those other three guys couldn't carry Kenny Anderson's jock strap. I mean, you can make the argument that Randy Granishire was a great linebacker. Art Powell was a pretty good offensive lineman. Steve McMichael's getting in. I hate to say it because he's on his deathbed and he's about to die. And that's why he got voted. He's getting voted in.
WCW legend.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
One of the horsemen.
Yep.
Yes.
Any
of those guys still alive? Arn Anderson still around?
Yep.
Yeah, he's still, okay. He does a podcast like daily.
Really?
Yeah.
Flair's alive, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. But I don't let this stuff bother me too much. It is what it is. But the screwing that Kenny Anderson's got from the Hall of Fame infuriates me.
Agreed.
It's, and I said this, because again, we, Greg and I were recording when it actually came down that he did miss the final vote. He doesn't need the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame needs him. He's a Hall of Fame person. Never mind anything that he's done on the field. He's that good of a person. I mean, he's got his foundation, the Kenny Anderson Alliance, that benefits adults with disabilities. It's actually headquartered, and he's got a coffee shop and some places about a half a mile from my house. It's in Silverton. If you're in Silverton, they've got a coffee shop, and it's everything benefits his Kenny Anderson, the Kenny Anderson Alliance.
I was looking some stuff up about him today because let's see if there was things I had forgotten it. I had forgotten that he won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in 75.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
At least that's what it said on Pro Football Reference.
Yeah. Man of the Year, MVP, four-time passer leader, you know.
Led
the NFL and passer.
Hall of Famer.
Nine seasons in the top 10 in passer rating out of 14 seasons.
Yeah.
Led it 4 years in a row. The only guy to ever lead it 4 years in a row.
He doesn't need the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame needs him to be, you know, again, just how much they've tried to just ignore Cincinnati, which is so weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my closing comment. Hall of Fame can kiss my rear end.
Right. Timmy?
This is going to be the best Bengals year of our lifetime, folks. Enjoy every single snap of it. And don't argue with people on Twitter. It's stupid.
Stay off Twitter unless you're just going to follow me and follow Tim or, you know, follow Late Night Reds or follow Bill, you know. Don't follow us in real life because that's kind of creepy as hell. I'd be a little concerned, but social media is just kind of festering a cesspool anyway. But outside of that, this is going to be a fun season. I legitimately believe that there is going to be a Super Bowl parade and a, you know, trophy being hoisted at Fountain Square come February.
I love it.
Yeah. So outside of that, ladies and gentlemen, take care. We will see y'all soon.
Good Saturday.